Give me thy heart, give me thy heart, hear the soft whisper wherever Thank you, ladies. We've been blessed already, folks. For the sake of the recording, I'd like to introduce those that are on the platform with me this morning. Our brother Lee Broniford will bring the invocation. Brother Luke Richmond will bring the offertory. Our brother Eric Baker will bring the message this morning. Our brother Neil Sherman will bring the benediction. And I'm Denny, or Dennis Seymour. We talked quite a bit this morning in class about the gathering. And if you think the Lord doesn't work individually with people unbeknownst to others, my scripture for a call to worship this morning is from Isaiah, the second chapter, beginning in the second verse. And it shall come to pass in the last days, when the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. And out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. We're gathered here this morning. Some of us, probably I would say 80%, maybe more, have gathered in to this place. And all of us certainly have gathered in to this place right here this morning to hear the word. I pray that you might give a thought to a prayer for our brother Eric this morning as he would bring that spoken word. We'll continue our service as outlined in our program. Thank you.
Our loving Father in heaven above, it's with joy that we have assembled to adore and worship the name of the Savior of men, Jesus Christ. And more ably to do so under the authority of the eternal priesthood, which originated and resides with him. We are humbled by such facts and look forward to instruction from above through the authority vested in your priesthood this hour. We trust that all may be pleasing and acceptable in thy name. And like the prophets of old, we may be under the multitude of thy tender mercies as we worship together. And we do so in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. Amen.
For scripture reading for offertory today, I would like to read out of Malachi 3, verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me how herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Will you pray with me? Our dear God in heaven, Lord, I'd come to you now at this time of this service, Lord, as the time that we have to reach forth our hand to the plates, Lord, of the just a portion of the many blessings that you have given each and every one today, Lord. And I would just thank you once again from on high, Lord, that you have given us all abundance, Lord, and we know that, and sometimes we forget, but I would pray today that we would remember everything that you have given us comes from you, and just take this portion that we would give, and those that would not be able to give today, Lord, that they would just remember that, and we just thank you for everything, and continue to be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Now it came to pass that after the sons of Mosiah had done all these things, they took a small number with them and returned to their father, the king, and desired of him that he would grant it to them that they might, with those whom they had selected, go up to the land of Nephi, that they might preach the things which they had heard, and that they might impart the word of God to their brethren, the Lamanites, that perhaps they might bring them to the knowledge of the Lord their God, and convince them of the iniquity of their fathers, and that perhaps they might cure them of their hatred toward the Nephites, that they might also be brought to rejoice in the Lord their God, that they might become friendly to one another, that there should be no more contentions in all the land which the Lord their God had given them. Now they were desirous that salvation should be declared to every creature, but they could not bear that any human soul should perish. Yea, even the very thought that any soul should endure endless torment did cause them to quake and tremble. And thus did the Spirit of the Lord work upon them, for they were the very vilest of sinners. Thank you, sisters. Appreciate the spirit that has been here this morning and that we hope will continue through the meager words that I bring you. Been contemplating a lot about this message here this week. And, you know, I was telling the kids this morning, I'm doing the senior high class, and I was telling them that there's always these obstacles that are being put in your way when you're trying to do that which the Lord would have you to do. And yesterday, a pipe came loose on our washer and flooded the basement. And so that's how I spent some of my time, vacuuming up water and moving boxes around. But, you know, what I did tell them this morning was that he has promised to be with us. And that is one of my testimonies to you, brothers and sisters, that if you will turn unto the Lord your God and you put your whole heart and all of your trust in him, that he will sustain you. And that is my testimony, that he has sustained me. And you know, he is at work. We heard from our brother Denny. He is at work among his saints. He is. And you perhaps have seen that in your own life. He will, in things that have transpired, in things that you've been led to do, or associations, but he is at work within the world. And he, anyone who will hear his voice and will hearken to those commandments that he's given, to those just laws, those laws which are the laws of Zion, that when men follow those laws in unity and in love with one another, he will establish his kingdom here on earth, the kingdom of Zion. And so as our sister sang, publish glad tidings. That's what we need to be about, saints. And my testimony to you is that he will work with us, and he will work with you if you will hearken to his voice. You know, we hear a lot of things here, and I've heard them over the years, about what is it that the saints need right now. And you know, some of it has been, I think, in desperation because people are worried that church members are dwindling, that our youth are being lured away by the things of the world. Congregations are closing, and of course, all of the times that we have split apart. And you hear lots of different things. I've heard, we need structure. We need structure. We need the quorum of 12. We need revelation. We need revelation from the Lord. We need unity. We need unity. And you hear all these different things. And but the thought came to me here as I was preparing this week that of all these things that we have heard, and of course many of them have led to divisions and have not really been of the Lord. But of all these things we hear and heard, the one that maybe has not been spoken that I'm going to tell you about this morning is that of love. And you've perhaps heard this message or some of this before. But, you know, of all the things that are important for the kingdom of God, I've come to the understanding that this perhaps is one of the most important things that we can have, and that is love. And not the love that we hear about in society. You know, we have pop culture and all their songs about love. It's really more about affection. Not that type of love, or even really the love that that perhaps couples should have between themselves, or even agape love. We hear a lot about agape love, and I think that's part of it. That's part of it, but that's not the the exact same thing. Our love of the brotherhood, love of other men, But the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ, which we know is charity, and which the Scripture tells is more important than faith and hope, is perhaps the most important thing that we can have, is to have this love of Jesus Christ that can come and dwell within us, because it can overcome, brothers and sisters, it can overcome every obstacle that we find in this world. You name it. It might be famine, it might be poverty, it might be war, it might be jealousy, but we talk about a lot of things in the restoration, about authority, about keeping the commandments and righteousness, but if you look at the Scriptures, love trumps them all. It does. And perhaps you'll have some of that that vision that I had here in preparing for you this morning. I speak to you somewhat talking about this love of our Lord and Savior and of His Father when I myself do not feel that I have this love. There's been times that maybe I have. There's been times where His Spirit has come down and it's flooded my being, and it's given me vision and insight and things that I would not ordinarily see. But as a rule, I would say I don't think that I have this type of love. Now, maybe some of you do. Maybe some of you, I know people who love is, that is their gift. And, of course, we know it is one of the gifts of the Spirit, isn't it? And it's something I think we have to acquire. It's something we have to ask for. We have to desire, that we have to work at. And we see that there are men in the Scriptures in history who have had this type of love. And I read to you about the sons of Mosiah, and they had this love, I think. They had this love that I'm speaking to you about this morning. Now, they didn't have it at first, of course. It says that they loved sin and they loved wickedness and darkness. And they went about trying to destroy the church of God, to disrupt the affairs of the ministry of the church, which their goal was to call men to repentance, to sanctify men, to bring them up higher, and they were working against this. And we know that the angel of the Lord appeared to them as they were walking, much like it did to the apostle Paul, or Saul, as he was called at that time. But the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the brightness of the Lord's glory shone on them in a way that it exposed their souls. It exposed them ripped and pulled away everything that we kind of look as protection that keeps us from being in that light of God. The veil, if you will, was taken away from them, and they saw themselves, brothers and sisters. They saw themselves and they saw their nothingness. They saw their nothingness before God, and they quaked and they trembled because of the almighty power that was resident there, that was being revealed to them. And it wasn't in a way that was perhaps reprimanding them. It was, but it was out of love. And it changed their hearts. And I thought to myself, you know, years back, and I've shared this testimony once before, years back I was doing some study myself. I was trying to, I was reading the Scriptures, wasn't even in the priesthood at that time. And this had always intrigued me about the fall of man. How is it that Adam fell, and then because of that all men are fallen? And the atonement of Christ and the redemption of man. And this, it just intrigued me, the Scriptures, and I compiled all this thing, these Scriptures and writings, trying to understand this. And I prayed about it. And not in this same type of experience that the sons of Mosiah had, but in an experience, the Lord allowed me to see myself. And not in the way that you're seeing me right now, or that we look upon each other, but he allowed me to see myself through his eyes. Which is what happened here to these brethren. And I saw myself, and I saw my sins, and I saw my filthiness. Now, I was trying to do what's right. And I realized my nothingness. And that glimpse, brief glimpse, wasn't long. And then I understood the redemption of man. That was the missing puzzle piece in my study. That was the part I couldn't understand. I couldn't perceive. I'd read all these scriptures. But in that brief experience, he allowed me to see myself. And I knew that I must rely upon the merits, as all of each of you, upon the merits of Jesus Christ. And so the sons of Mosiah, they had this experience, and it had changed them. They were new people. They were new individuals. They had put off sin. They had gotten rid of all their acquaintances and their friends, as you can imagine. They didn't have any support from the people that were once their friends, but of course they had the support of the church and the church members. And so they went up here. They went to their father, the king, and they desired of him that they could go up to the land of Nephi, and with the thought that they might be able to convert, to shed the light, the same light that they had been shown, to shed the light to the Lamanites. And not only that, but to rid them of their hatred, their wickedness, to make them one body with the Nephites. This was their hope, because you know there's this great division. You had the Lamanites in the land of Nephi, and then you had all of the Nephites, and there was a dividing line, kind of like we have over in Korea. You know, there's North Korea and South Korea, and they got the demilitarized zone. That's kind of what it was like. And yet they wanted to pass through that zone. They wanted to go there and to share this message, the message of salvation. Because they could not bear the thought. They could not bear the thought that anyone could suffer and be cast off from the presence of God. That was what foremost was in their minds. And you know, I think about this today, you know, you've got North and South Korea, it's like Iraq or Iran. If one of us were to go there to in order to share the message, the gospel, what do you suppose they'd do to a person like that? Well, people have done that, you know. What do you suppose they'd do to a Christian who came in preaching Jesus Christ? But yet this wasn't on their mind. It wasn't the fact that, oh, we might be captured, we might be tortured, we might be killed. No, it was their desire, this desire within them, this love within them, this love of Jesus Christ for their brethren, speaking loosely, their brethren, the Lamanites. And so they saw this, they didn't see any obstacle. And of course, their father, the king, he was quite concerned, as you might be if it was your son wanting to do something of this, and he prayed about it. But he was comforted of the Lord, and so they went and they were able to do this. They had no fear, and you know, in the book of Apostle John, he says there is no fear in love. For perfect love cast out fear. That's what they had, brothers and sisters. Perfect love. Didn't have any fear. And so, as I said, that you or I, we don't have this love. I mean, maybe some of you do. But you know, much of our love is conditional. It is. It's easy to love those around us. Our family, our friends, maybe our coworkers that we get along with. But what is it to love your enemies, as the sons of Mosiah did, to love them with the love of Jesus Christ, or to love the people who aren't unlovable, people who are steeped in sin and in wickedness and drugs and come from broken backgrounds, and what do we do with those people? What do we do with them? I suppose the Lord kind of looks, He could look at us that way. He could look at each of us and, what am I going to do with these people? I know in my own life as growing up, looking back in retrospect, that if it were me making that decision, if it were me reaching out to myself, I would have given up a long time ago. That's it. He's had all his opportunities. We've given him plenty of chances, and yet he still makes the same mistakes. And that's where it differs, brothers and sisters. That's where it differs, this love of God, is that we cannot fathom, we cannot understand the depth, the breadth, the height of the love of God. It's beyond us. We might be exposed to it. We might, as I said, in that brief experience I had, He may let you have that experience and it come into your soul and it just fill your being. We couldn't hold it. It's beyond our comprehension. Why would anyone love us with all the things that we would do? The extent that He goes, as you look at men's lives, like the prodigal son, and yet He is still reaching out His hand to every man, woman, or child who will respond. And that's what He's doing these days, brothers and sisters, not only among the saints, but He's doing it among anyone who will hearken to that voice. And it's because of His love. And so He, first of all, the first commandment is what? It's to love Him. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And not just in namesake, not just, oh, yes, I love the Lord. He's been good to me. But to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, might, mind, and strength. With every ounce of your being. To want to keep those commandments. You want to keep them. You want to please Him. You realize His goodness. You realize His wisdom. His wisdom for your life. That some decisions that you make, you may not want to make, but they're for your good. And so He asks us to love Him, and that is the first commandment, and to love Him with all our heart. Which is better? Which is better? Is it to keep the commandments because you're afraid of the punishment? That's kind of how we get our kids, isn't it? Well, you better not lie, you better not steal, because the Lord's watching you. He is. And if you don't, you'll be cut off. Is it better to keep it out of fear? Or is it better to keep those commandments out of love? And of course He says that, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so that's the very first commandment, saints, is to love the Lord thy God and to desire with all your heart to serve Him and to keep His commandments. And I'll post perhaps another question for you here as I have the floor and I can pose all the questions I want. But to the men of the priesthood, as you get ready to stand up here behind the pulpit, as I am this morning, how is it that you prepare? I know the way that I prepare. after you do so many sermons, the Lord teaches you certain things, and you do things in a certain manner to get ready. And some of you, I'm sure, have patterns or ways that you do things, you prepare. And it may be prayer, it might be study, it might be a lot of reading, maybe listening to other sermons. How do you prepare, brethren, for this hour? Now, I ask you another question. How do you prepare if someone, you're to go and minister to a family in need, or maybe a couple, they're having some difficulties, some trials? How do you prepare for that when you're asked to go out, brother, can you go with me to this house? Or to the elders, you're asked to administer. Well, there you even may have less time to prepare, don't you? Our preparation is our life, isn't it, saints? It's the way we live the week, so that when we come here on Sunday morning, that this isn't a new thing to us, because the Lord's Spirit has been with us through the week. We've prayed to Him, we've sought Him out. And when we come here, we hope to receive a greater portion of that Spirit, that enlightenment, that direction in our life. And so this doesn't just apply to priesthood, it applies to all of us, doesn't it? To all the saints, that we live the gospel. We live it. That's, I believe, what He wants us to do. It's not just believe it, not just preach it, but through our daily actions that others can see. And so this love of Jesus Christ and His Father, which we cannot comprehend, which we may only understand in brief points in time when He allows it to open up to us, but it's really at the heart of all we do. It's infused throughout the gospel. It's infused, it's present throughout the ordinances of the church. Is present in the priesthood, in our families. We go on and on. You know, there's several instances in the Book of Mormon where the Nephites were attacked by the Lamanites. And the Lamanites came in and they were outnumbered. The Nephites were outnumbered. You know, it says the Lamanites were as numerous as the sand of the sea, sand of the ocean. But they just came up over the hills. You can envision it, can't you? Here's the hills, and they're just on every side. The Lamanites are coming up over the hills to attack them. But in those instances, it says what happened in a couple of those instances. So that the Nephites, even though they were outnumbered 7-1, 10-1, that they were still victorious. And so what did they do? They thought about their families. They thought about their wives. They thought about their children. They thought about their liberty that they had, the lands that the Lord had blessed them with. And then they were victorious, weren't they? And so even in war, the love of God is victorious. It overcomes everything. Can break down those obstacles. They sung about Zion. This is the power of Zion, brothers and sisters. There are a lot of other things, but this is very important, is this love of Jesus Christ and how we need it within ourselves. We have to become new people, just like the sons of Mosiah. It has to have a change wrought upon us, where we have no desire to do evil. We only have desires to serve Him. But as I said, we have conditional love, don't we, a lot of times? Well, maybe you don't, but I know I do. This analogy came to me because I've been out mowing my lawn. But say your neighbor wants to borrow your mower. And well, what do you do? Well, of course, you let him. Sure. You fill it up with gas. Here's how it works. A couple days go by. His lawn's mowed, but you haven't gotten your mower back. Starting to get a little worried. Well, this is probably mainly the men, right? Some of you women probably mow too, but you're kind of worried about that mower. He brings it back. It's covered in mud. The gas tank is empty. A couple days later, your neighbor comes to you and he wants to borrow the mower again. What do you do? What do you do in that instance? You know, our heart says, well, I've given him a chance. I did the Christian thing. I let him borrow my mower. I filled it up with gas. Not even going to charge him for it. You know, look at the way he brought it back to me. And I think about the love of Christ and how he'd say, what's a mower? Can you take it with you to heaven? These temporal things, saints, that we hold on to so tightly, don't really mean anything, do they? Not in the light of Jesus Christ, the love of Jesus Christ. As Moroni says, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that you might be filled with this love that he bestows upon all those who follow him with all the energy of heart. And as I said, this is the power of Zion. This is part of the spirit of Zion. It permeates throughout the gospel. It permeates throughout our, needs to permeate throughout our actions and the things that we do. Even just the little actions, the things that we do. You're driving in traffic, you know, you cut somebody off. I yelled at my wife this morning. I thought, that's not the love of God. Here I'm supposed to be getting ready to talk about it later today. But that love, it has power to change people, doesn't it? Saints, we know Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry. Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. Thieves, publicans who, men who take advantage of their position. And yet his ministry to them, the love that he showed them, that they felt for him, and then the forgiveness that they received, they were forever bound to him through that love. And that is the love that we will have, brothers and sisters, in this holy city. This city which is meant to be a light on the hill, to draw all men unto it. Come, let us go up to the house of the Lord. He will teach us of his ways and of his laws and of charity, and that men should love one another, that they shouldn't have war. What does the scripture say? Every man that will not take his sword up against his neighbor must flee unto Zion, because they're going to be the only people who will not be at war. This power of the Lord that will be with them, the power and his might and his majesty, and it will shine outward such that the nations say, let us not go up to battle against Zion, for the inhabitants of Zion are terrible. So I pray, saints, as Moroni says, pray unto the Lord, ask him for this gift in your life, the gift of his love with all the energy of heart, that you might receive this gift. And I know that if you do that, that he will answer you.
Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, what a privilege it has been this hour to bask in that pure love of Christ and to receive that light of your word in our hearts. Father, I thank you for the preparation of thy servant who has brought forth this message, and also for the preparation of this congregation. For thy Spirit has been here and touched us and given us instruction. You continue to bless us, Father, in spite of all of our errors. I thank you for this kindness. I pray, Father, for this service, a benediction upon it, that you would also go with us into our lives, into our day, our daily walk. Be with us always, Father, I pray, in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.